So we've made it one out of two of the holidays, this worldly holidays. We've made it through the grotesque, and now we're have our sights on entering the gaudy season, the supposed Christian love season of caring, the Christian love of Christmas. You know, in a short black and white film clip I looked at from the 1950s, I think everything then was black and white. The text at the beginning states, and this is a black and white film clip of Christmas, it states, "As the spirit of Christmas unites all humanity, men and women everywhere reaffirm their faith in the brotherhood of man." And then it continues on a little bit. It shows, the whole idea of this clip was showing how people all over the world have come in unity to celebrate this day. And that description is actually pretty spot on. There is a spirit, but it's not of God, of something called Christmas, the spirit of Christmas. And we know where that spirit, where that the basis of that originates. It does bring all of humanity together. And it focuses their attention and faith not where it should be, not on God, but it focuses their faith and attention on themselves, on mankind. Before this film looks at all of these people all over the globe doing some sort of Christmas celebration, it ends with the phrase, "Peace on earth, goodwill towards men." Again, focusing entirely on mankind. This phrase is attributed to a particular scripture, and if you will, turn with me to Luke 2. Maybe look at this in context, what this scripture actually is saying. Luke 2, and starting in verse 13. "And suddenly there was with the angel," and this is the angel that came and told the shepherds about Christ's birth, "and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying," and this is not mankind saying to himself, these are the angels, God's angels declaring this, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Completely devoid, that Christmas, quote, completely devoid, the first part of that scripture, "Glory to God in the highest." Again, that scripture, that quote is focusing on mankind, not on, it was taken out of context, this scripture that was telling about the birth of Christ. God was left out in this. And I don't believe it's just you and I that are simply have goodwill to each other, as we see in some of the quotes of this, as many movies, and if you look through all the times that those things are saying about goodwill towards man, that's used in many movies and many different songs, etc. Will, in the scripture in verse 14 of Luke 2, is Strong's number 2107, and in Greek it's the word yokidia, or yodokia, and it means, or it can mean, will, a choice, delight, pleasure, and satisfaction. I want to skip through a few of the references of this word. Luke also uses this word in Luke 10:21. If you want to write some of these down, for it seemed good in thy sight, seemed good. The same word for will, of this idea of having goodwill towards men that the worldly people keeping Christmas are trying to get across to us. For it seemed good in thy sight, in God's sight. Matthew used this same word in Matthew 11:26, saying, "Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." It seemed good in thy, in God's sight. Paul uses this word several times. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. And I'm cutting in a lot of these scriptures just to get the actual use of this word. "And to fill all the good pleasure of his goodness. Good pleasure, and it's speaking about God's good pleasure. Paul also continues in Ephesians 1 and 5, according to the good pleasure of his will. Ephesians 1, 9, according to his good pleasure. Philippians 2, 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Again, all these times it's talking about not mankind's pleasure in this, but God's pleasure, God's will. Several more translations. Now, I was reading out of the New King James, and the King James also states good will as two words towards men. Some of the modern translations of Luke 2, verse 14, the New Revised Standard says, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. The English Standard Version says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. This begs the question then, with whom is God well pleased? Who did God have goodwill towards? The whole reason that this his son was born was for this reason. It was his will, and it was him giving us an opportunity, this ultimate opportunity. Not mankind giving it to himself. You know, we understand, obviously, that man, or that God isn't part of mankind's modern-day religion. Because, obviously, modern-day religion does not have God with it. Refuses to have God's will as part of it. You know, religion is changing in this country. It's changing throughout the world. We see it around us. Godlessness is rampant in our country and many countries around the world, and everything that mankind does. But it's not just the obvious rejection of man, of God, of professing God, that is so insidious. The deception of mankind is deepest when mankind believes that he is following after God's will. When mankind is completely deceived, that is the pinnacle of deception. Not people that dress up and act like Satanists and really profess a hatred towards God. It's people as well. All of it's the same. Anybody that does not follow after God's will does not have God in their lives. When a recent study by the Pew Institute, I'll quote, said the largest single religious group among Democrats is now the nuns, an umbrella group that includes atheists, agnostics, and those unaffiliated with a specific faith, according to the second installment of the Pew Research Center's 2014 Religious Landscape Study. Now, of this, throughout the study, the percentages is 36% of all Democratic respondents are non-Christian or answered none as to their Christian or their religious affiliation. We can think, well, yeah, the Democrats, maybe they don't follow along as much with what we would consider closer aligned to biblical values. Well, this compares to 17% of GOP respondents answered exactly the same. They have no religion in their lives. The study, or no belief in religion. The study also stated, among the roughly three-quarters of U.S. adults who do claim a religion, there has been no discernible drop in most measures of religious commitment. Indeed, by some conventional measures, religious affiliation or religiously affiliated Americans are, on average, even more devout than they were a few years ago. But where is that zeal being directed? The world is not following after God, and yet they're becoming more passionate either in their hatred, their disavowment of God, or their love, their professing of God, and yet mankind entirety, almost in entirety, is deceived. 2 Corinthians 4. We have proof of what is happening to this world around us today. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. those around us that have given up all belief in God. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The God of this age has blinded them. He has led them all, most of this world, into deceit. You know, today's religion, whether it grows stronger among those who call on the name of God, or if it focuses towards everything ungodly, still has the same root, still has the same foundation, built by that great deceiver, built by Satan. You know, true religion will only be found by those that God has called, whose minds he has had the good pleasure or the will to open. And brethren, once we are in that state of understanding, once we have had our minds opened, as we do, as those of us that are here today, those of us that gather together to keep God's Sabbath days, once we have had that our minds open, it is crucial, it is critical to our growth that we retain the requirements of Christianity that James talks about. James 1, we can read about some of those necessities of Christian life. James 1, starting in verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So what mankind does on his own does not and cannot produce godly righteousness. In verse 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. The idea that this word, this idea or this understanding we have is implanted, speaks to the fact that God is doing it. It's not mankind's. Anything that mankind brings forth is not going to be righteousness. It's going to be the wrath of man. It's going to be his own making, and it's not going to be godly. In verse 22, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. The Spirit of God cannot reside with us. Those of us that had our minds opened will not reside within us if we don't allow it to, if we forget about it, if we walk away from what we've had our minds open to understand. In verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. And that is an explanation of what this world does. Many in this world think, even in this research, many people call themselves religious, and yet what they call religious is deceit in their own heart. And in verse 27, pure, this explains what real or true religion is, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and this is key, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. You know, the religion of this world, no matter how Christian it might be, no matter how pleasant it might seem, if it is not the will of God, if it is not backed by the will of God, if God has not called people into this understanding, all of it is useless. You know, James exhorts us to fulfill the requirements of godly religion. And maybe most importantly, at our stage of understanding, of those of us that have had our minds open, he warns us to remain unspotted from this world. And that is the one key, brethren. That is the one thing that we must strive to keep at the forefront of our Christian path.